There was Crystal Side and there was Townside, and though the two were separated by a mere half mile as the frigate bird flew, they could have been different islands, because between them sat the hillock proudly called Miss Mabel Mountain, the highest point of all the islands far around, which wasn't saying much, with an apron of haze hoisted round her midriff, and the broken-down slave houses at her feet, and her forest where shafts of sun shone like daylight through a broken roof. Crystal Side was meadowed as an English shire, with clusters of umbrella trees that from a distance could have been oak, and English cattle fences, and English ha-has, and vistas of the sea between soft English hilltops artfully landscaped by Roper's tractors. But Townside was dour and blowy like Scotland with the lights on, with scraggy goat fields on the slant, and tin shops, and a cricket field of blown red dust with a tin pavilion, and a prevailing easterly that flicked the water in Carnation Bay. And around Carnation Bay, in a crescent of pastel-painted cottages, each with its front garden and steps leading to the beach, Roper accommodated his white staff. Of these cottages, Woody's house was unquestionably the most desirable, by virtue of its stylishly fretted balcony and its unspoiled view of Miss Mabel Island in the middle of the bay. Who Miss Mabel was, God alone knew, though she had left her name on a presumptuous hillock, an uninhabited island, a defunct bee farm, an abortive cotton industry, and a type of lace doily nobody knew how to make anymore. "Some fine old lady from slaving times," said the native shyly when the close observer asked. "Best let her memory sleep."